We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
You need to have the Word of God living inside of you, because there's one thing to go study a sermon, right? And if you're not careful as a pastor, you'll go just learn how to study a sermon because Sunday's coming. But as a Christian, as a child of God, you need to have the Word of God hidden in your heart, and you need to have something exciting always bubbling up in your spirit from the Word of God. Does that describe you? Well, I want to try to put it on display for you today. If you've got your Bibles, here's my Bible today. I've got my phone out. We're going to turn to John chapter 3. I want you to actually pull out your Bible, pull out a phone. We're going to be doing that together. Tech team, I know I'm throwing y'all under the bus too. If you want, go to John chapter 3 and put verses 1 through 7 up there. Before we look at the Word of God there, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ knows how to talk to us. I want to tell you that we have a Jesus that knows how to reach each one of us. We're all individuals. We're kind of different people, are we? Oh, yeah. What are some of the things that I like? Somebody name them out. You know these things. Jerry Seinfeld. I like so Seinfeld. I'm down for football and sports. I'm down for scary movies. I'm down for these things. I'm down for Jesus, right? When I invite people over to my house all the time and say, the Dallas Cowboys are playing Monday Night Football, come over and hang out with us. And people look me dead in the face and go, I hate football. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I still love you. I'm working on these things. But, you know, there are certain things that get me excited, but they might not get you excited. There are some things about our care pastor, Marshall, right? He is like a science brain. There are some things he starts talking about, and I just suddenly have no idea what he's talking about. What are one of those things? Theoretical physics. There it is. That's awesome. Theoretical physics. My wife, she works in a blood bank, and so all the time she talks about, we got this one sample today, and it had something with hemoglobin. And when she says hemoglobin, I'm just done. My brain just goes somewhere else, and she's so excited about this thing, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what's happening in this story. I just hope no one died, and then no one died, and it was great, and I'm like, awesome, hemoglobins, it's good, centrifuge, you know. I just throw out any like random science words that I can think of, right? Oh man, ventricles, oh thank goodness for those, like, but we're all very different. The Apostle Paul says that I become all things to all men that I might win a few, that I might win those people. So being that everyone's different, we're called as Christians to find a way to relate to those people, share Jesus to those people. Everybody's got a heart. Everybody's got a need for Jesus. But sometimes your starting point with people is not, hey, sinner, you need Jesus. Sometimes your place is, hey, let's hang out. You like comic books? Let's go hang out and talk about comic books. You like to work out? What's your five-day set look like? Like your five-day split? You talk about these things. Go outside of your comfort zone to care about people. Now, I told you this. I'm going to bring you back to this point. Jesus knows how to talk to each of us. He knows how to reach each and every one of our hearts. And in John chapter 3 and in John chapter 4, there are two people that Jesus talks to, and they are wildly different. We're going to read one of them, John chapter 3, right here. Let's look at that. John chapter 3, verse 1 is what we're going to go with. I will check my phone right here. The NIV. Now there was a Pharisee. Everyone said Pharisee. A man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. So right there in one verse, he's a Pharisee, he's a man, and he is a member of the Jewish ruling council. Not only is he Jewish, but he is a member of some high up group. Are you with me so far? He came to Jesus at night and said, now wait a second, why do you come to Jesus at night? because you want to hide. You don't want anybody to know that you're going to Jesus. Verse 3, continuing verse 2. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. So I believe these things, but I'm not willing to come and say them in the daylight, but I'll say it at night. Verse 3, Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Somebody say born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Verse 6, flesh gives birth to spirit, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. Verse 7, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. All right, so Jesus throws him for a loop. Jesus is talking to a religious Pharisee about spiritual things. He should be somebody that is equipped for such a conversation. But he hears this news about being born again, and he is flipped. He has no idea how to respond. He takes it in the natural. Should I naturally try to be born again of my mother? The first time I was born, I was a little baby, but now I'm a full-grown man. How does that actually work in the physical? But what Jesus was talking about was not physical. It was spiritual, because God's kingdom is spiritual. All right. And there's life and peace, because if you're spiritually minded, there is life and peace. And he is not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living, that there is life, there is spirit in the kingdom of God. And then he says, you can't even be in the kingdom of God without being born again. You have to be born again of water and be born again of spirit. Now, we could talk about that verse in more detail, but I think that's more in line for a Bible study, because a lot of churches argue about that verse. We aren't going to get into that argument today. But Jesus says you must be born again, and that new birth contains water. It contains spirit. What is the name of the man in John chapter 3 Jesus is speaking to? He is a man. He is Jewish. He is a member of the Jewish council. All right. He is a religious man. Now we're going to look at John chapter 4. John 4. We'll start right at verse 1. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left. He left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Let's talk about those two places real quick. You've got, what are those two places I just mentioned? Judea, and then there is Galilee. All right, so what do we think, what should we think about the place of Judea? Is that a highfalutin place, or is that a podunk place? Is that like a small little Texas town that you barely notice when you drive past the crossroads? No, it is a fancy place. There is not a fancier location in Israel than the location of Judea. It's the area surrounding the city of Jerusalem. That's the major city of Israel to today. That is the area of Judea. Now let's talk about Galilee. What is the city of Galilee like? It's poor. It's that little crossroad. There's a little place where I come from, Waco, Texas, that I feel really big being from Waco. I pick on this small little community right outside of Waco. It's called Belmead, and I make all kinds of jokes about Belmead, but Belmead's a pretty serious place, so you don't want to run into the wrong person in Belmead. One day, a guy recently got saved, and he had left a pretty dangerous life, let's just say. This guy could snap me in half, all right? This guy was big, and he had muscles on top of muscles. And one day, I'm sitting having lunch with him, and I'm just talking, and I throw out one of my Belmead jokes, and he said, what did you say? I'm like, I said, did you say something about Belmead? And I said, yeah, I said something about Belmead. Ha ha, that's real funny. And then he pulled down his t-shirt, and I kid you not, over his heart, he had a tattoo that said Belmead on it. thank goodness that guy came to Jesus, because they would have a dead pastor right there in Bill and Bob's in Waco, Texas. But Galilee is like this area that I call Belmead. It's not a well-known area. You've got the really nice areas in Dallas. You got that uptown area, and you don't see, like, you see really fancy cars that live there. It's high-rise apartments. That explains Judea. But no, the bad part of town, the part of town you actually drive around, they actually build a freeway over it so no one has to actually see that part of town. That is Galilee. And so he left Judea, and he went to, all right, you following me? So Jesus doesn't just hang out in Judea. In fact, most of his ministry is not in Judea. It's places like Galilee. Verse 4, now he had to go through Samaria. There's another place. He's on his way to Galilee, and he runs to a place called Samaria. So what is Samaria? Let's talk about what Samaria is. Samaria has a long history in your Bible that when Israel was exiled and all the Israelites were kicked out of Israel and they were dragged into slavery into Babylon, that the people that came back to Israel were not Israelites. That there was an area of Samaria, and these people brought their pagan idolatry, and these people took what was rightfully belonging to Israelites and they claimed it for their own. And then 70 years after that exile, the Israelites returned and there were people living in their land. And do you think they thought highly of these people? No, they hated these people. There was this historical background that they had a gripe about, but there was also racial problems. Oh, but we don't have that problem today. No, they were racist against the Good Samaritan. It is for this purpose that Jesus uses the Good Samaritan in what parable? The parable of the Good Samaritan. Very good. He took somebody that was despised. They used a term when they described a Samaritan, and it was dog. They thought highly terrible things of Samaritans. So Jesus has just talked to who in John chapter 3? Talked to Nicodemus, somebody in Jerusalem, somebody who was high up, somebody who was religious, and now he is going to the part of town that nobody goes to. Nobody wants to go to the area of Samaria. And in fact, if you meet a Samaritan, you don't touch them, because if you touch them, you'd become unclean. You wouldn't eat with a Samaritan, because they would eat food. They would touch the food, then you would eat the food, then you would become unclean. If a Samaritan asked if he could borrow something, you'd be like, not on your life, because I don't want your unclean hands touching anything I have, because we have to stay ritually pure. So Jesus leaves Nicodemus and he walks into a place where Nicodemus would never go. He walks into a place called Samaria. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. Then a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Now, everything I just said about Samaritans, Jesus just defied every bit of it. Number one, Nicodemus was a man. And in this ancient world, men were held to a place of honor, and women were held to a place of sometimes just property. And then you add to that she is a Samaritan. And so Jesus does what to her? He speaks to her. What are you doing? Later in this chapter, his disciples come up and they see him speaking to the Samaritan woman. And they're like, "Jesus, what are you doing?" They're like, "We can't leave Jesus alone for one moment." can't leave him alone because he'll start talking to the wrong people. Can I tell you, Jesus talks to the wrong people, and that's why I'm here today. Hallelujah. They went off for like food and they come back and Jesus is talking to this person. Jesus not only talked to her, he asked her for something. To ask something of someone else puts them in a place of authority, like they have something to give. And that thing was actually water. Now, what did I say about a Jew and a Samaritan wouldn't eat together? They wouldn't drink together because they would become unclean because they touched the same thing the woman or the male Samaritan touched. And so here we have Jesus not only going to Samaria, but speaking to a woman who is Samaritan and asking of her, give me to drink, willing to take the water that she pours out into her jar, willing to drink from her jar. This is something Nicodemus would never do. This is something Jesus' own disciples wouldn't do. Can I tell you that in the church world today, we have people that wouldn't do this very thing. People that go to church, but they will not sit with somebody that's an unbeliever. Worse than that, they won't sit with somebody who's of another denomination. Worse than that, they can even be the same denomination, but they go to churches on the other side of the street, and we can't hang out with those people. You know what they say about those people. We hang out with those people, we'll end up in hell. That is so dumb. What, can't we be people that follow Jesus? Can we be followers of him? Here's his example. He went to Samaria. He went to the place he shouldn't go. He talked to the woman he shouldn't talk to. And he was willing to drink of her water. Can I tell you, it is okay to sit down in a tavern with someone who doesn't know Jesus. It is okay to sit with people that don't know Jesus. It's okay to sit down with a Muslim and talk about God. It is okay to sit down with an atheist and talk about their world. It is okay to talk to somebody that is a drug addict, somebody who goes to places you would never go. You can touch those people. Jesus would touch those people. I don't care who you are in this place. You might feel more like the Samaritan woman than you do the Jewish Nicodemus. You might be watching online. I got a thing to tell you. I don't care who you are. You can be Nicodemus. You can be the Samaritan woman. Either way, I tell you this. Jesus is coming for you. He's going to have a talk with you. He's going to reach out to you. He's going to reveal things to you. Now, this is what I love about Jesus, and this might ruffle some feathers. Because as a Christian, I tried to learn my sales pitch. Y'all know what a sales pitch is. You have one sales pitch, and you use it every time. That's how a sales pitch works. It's a one-size-fit-all sales pitch. The guy slaps the car and says, this car will hold about 5 kids. It's a great car. It'll, you know, you just have this sales pitch. And it doesn't matter who's walking up. You've got that sales pitch. And as a Christian, I had this sales pitch. She was like, man, the cross saved me. Is that true? Absolutely. But that's where I'd always start. And Jesus Christ healed me. Slap the roof of the car. That was my sales pitch every time. Well, one day, I met a person that wanted to talk about Jesus, and I started in on my sales pitch, Leroy, and I said, Jesus Christ, I had broken my ankle in high school playing tennis, and that night, I was in the ER. They were about to give me an x-ray to look at that, and I called on Jesus, and I spoke to him, and I was about to get to the great part of my sales pitch. I was about to get to the part of my sales pitch. I just, this guy's going to get saved like right now, because I'm about to tell this guy that Jesus Christ healed me in that hospital, and I walked out when I couldn't walk in. I'm getting to that part. You tell that at church, people come unglued. They're like, yeah, they're just going crazy. But he stopped me. He ruined my sales pitch. He stopped me cold in my tracks. He was a boy from South Korea. And he said, wait, did you say God heard you? I'm like, yeah, he heard me, but he healed me. I'm trying to get to that part. He's like, no. You mean you believe in a God who hears me? You think God would hear me? See, we have these sales pitches, and they're one size fits all, and then then somebody will throw you for a loop. And that night, I talked to a guy, not about how Jesus healed me, but how Jesus loved me enough to hear me. When was the last time you were just blown away by the fact that Jesus hears your, he hears you? The Bible says this is our confidence that we have in him, that whatever we ask, he hears us. Sometimes we're like, man, I'll worship him as soon as he gives me this job. Honey, you got it all wrong. You need to worship him because he just heard you. It's not about the job. It's not about how he answers the prayer. It is about that he is a God so in tune with you. He loves you. Isn't that amazing? So we've got these sales pitches. So does Jesus have like a one-size-fit-all sales pitch? Like we try to squeeze people into saying a sinner's prayer? No matter what their problem is, well, repeat after me. And they're like, I just needed $5. No, repeat after me. That's what we're going to do. Repeat after me. Like, that's what we do. No, you're going to get in the tank. We're going to baptize you. Right? And I've already been baptized. Just hush. You might want to cover your nose. Right? We have these sales pitches. I want to point out right here that Jesus Christ, he speaks to two vastly different people, and he speaks to them in completely different ways. Let's start with the Samaritan because we're still telling that story. He talks to her about being thirsty. He talks to her about you drink the water that's in Jacob's well, but then you'll become thirsty again. And that there is this unsatisfied thirst inside of you, but I have water that you drink it and you will never thirst again. He walks right up to this woman. He lets go all the garbage about who she is, about the stereotypes, about her past, about the ancient history of her race. And he says, you've got a longing in your heart, and I'm here to fill that longing in your heart. So that's how he talks to the Samaritan woman. She runs into the town. She tells everybody. She says, come see a man who told me everything there was about me. And then that whole world, that whole little area of Samaria came to know Jesus. And in Acts chapter 8, it says that the city of Samaria had one of the most amazing revivals where the entire city was baptized. The entire city repented of their sins. The entire city was delivered from demons. The entire city was filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that amazing? Can I tell you, it happened. It happened because Philip went and preached Jesus. And they heard about a Jesus that not too long earlier, a generation or two earlier, they had met this same Jesus. Don't you know that same Samaritan woman was there? I'm telling you, I can't prove it, but I know we're going to see her in heaven because she is a Holy Ghost-filled, apostolic, born-again Christian. That's how he spoke to the Samaritan woman. Now let's go back to Nicodemus. He tells Nicodemus, marvel not, I say unto you that you must be born again. What a strange. Jesus never says the words born again in Scripture. We as Christians use this term a lot, and it's a very biblical term. We need to know about the born again experience, but he never uses the term born again experience anywhere else, right? There's talk about new birth other places, but this born again thing, this verbiage that he uses, it's a particular situation for a particular person. I'm not saying that you can't be born again. Everybody should be born again. But he speaks not a sales pitch that's one size fits all, but he speaks to a man right where his need is. You see, the Jewish man would have stood there thinking he didn't need. He would have looked at the Samaritan and said, huh, that Samaritan, that Samaritan needs. And then he'd walk away without doing anything. But see, that's what religion usually does to us. We have a religious Jew. And every Jew, still to this day, a really good Jew, knows their entire lineage. They can take, they not only know who they're, like, we can't hardly go past our grandfather sometimes in our lineage. Like, okay, quick, name your great-great-grandfather. Raise your hand if you can name your great-great-grandfather. I can't. I better say that because my dad would get me. Like, most of us can't. Not only can a Jew name their great-great-grandfather, they can go all the way back to, I don't know, a guy named Adam. That's far back, Katie. That's a long time ago. They've got this lineage, and they trace it all out. In fact, they know that they are of a priesthood because they are a part of a tribe. They keep track of their tribe because they know their lineage, and their lineage goes all the way back to Levi. And that's what makes them a part of the priesthood. If you're a good Jew, even to this day, you know what of the 12 tribes you are a part of because you trace your lineage all the way back. Jesus looked at a guy that knew his entire lineage and said, your lineage is not good enough. Oh, but you don't understand, I'm born of Adam. Not good enough. Oh, you don't understand, I'm born of Abraham. Not good enough. You don't understand, I'm born of Noah who made it through the... Not good enough. You don't understand, I'm one of the 12 tribes of Israel. No, not good enough. Your religious order and what you think about yourself in these things do not matter. You need to stop thinking about these things. You need to be born again. Do you understand how earth-shattering that is? Now pause. Did he tell the Samaritan woman that she needs to be born again? He didn't say that. Did she need to be born again? Well, yes. But his way of approaching her was completely where her heart was. And his way of approaching the religious man was to actually alter his heart, kind of break his heart, so then he could save his heart. You see, that's what religion usually does. It gets like a layer of pride on us. Well, you don't understand. I'm third generation, fill in the blank, denomination. Preachers are sometimes the worst. We're like, oh, you don't understand. My great, 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 great daddy was a preacher. We're all preachers in this thing. And Jesus says, big deal. You got to be born again. Well, isn't that special? Be born again. Your birth is not enough. You need to be born again. And so he looks this guy in the face and he just breaks his little toy. He breaks his little religious thing that he thought he based his whole value on. Can I tell you, Nicodemus, you aren't valuable because of who your daddy was. You're valuable because the Lord of glory is talking to you right now. And although Jesus never had many great conversations with Pharisees, right? They all turn south pretty quick. If you read your New Testament, they turn south really quick. He is reaching out to this guy, and he has to reach through his religion. Can I tell you, religion can cut you off from Jesus Christ. Religion can cut you off from a relationship with Jesus Christ. You must be born again, and you must receive a new birth that only comes from Jesus. Now, back to the woman. We've got this woman. He doesn't tell her, you got to break through your religion, woman, because she's a pagan. She's all over the map when it comes to religious beliefs. She's like, whatever. Whatever about that. They talk about a mountain that's supposed to be sacred there, and he says, listen, the time's coming, now is, when people will worship the Lord in spirit and truth right here on this mountain. She didn't fully grasp that. We're still coming to grips with everything that means. But he doesn't have to break through her religion because she wasn't religious. You understand this? He touches her heart by touching her need. Now here's the truth. We all need something. Because Nicodemus needed something, didn't he? Yeah, he needed to be broken. The woman needed to be embraced, and he embraced her. No matter who you are, Jesus knows how to talk to you, how to reach you, and he's already doing it. Could it be today that you've got a facade on you of religion, that you've got a facade on you of pride? While people were worshiping today, you had a facade that said, that's nice for them, but I don't need to do that. Can I tell you, Jesus wants to break through that religion today. He wants to break through that barrier, and he's going to say, be born again. Be born again. Go get, receive the water that I give and receive the spirit that I give, and then you'll be a part of my kingdom forever. One of the most favorite things that our care pastor, Pastor Marshall, ever said, he said that God's kingdom is so special, it's unlike any other kingdom. It's the only kingdom where everybody's welcomed at the gate of the kingdom by the king himself. Nobody comes into this kingdom except they meet the king of that kingdom. There's no other way into that kingdom. Do you remember saying that? I remember that. Christmas Battlefield. It was about 5 years ago. It was powerful. God spoke to Nicodemus. God speaks to the Samaritan woman. Well, maybe you're in a place and you're like, that religious thing, that's not my bag at all. All right, great. What do you need? Because God wants to fill the longing in your heart. Have you been running to relationship after relationship? That's what the Samaritan woman was doing. Maybe you have been running like after money, just money. How's that working for you? Have you ever had enough to fill that longing yet? No, maybe you're reaching out for what other people are thinking. How's that working for you? Have you ever been able to attain enough so people like you enough so that you suddenly feel valuable? Me neither. Maybe you're the Samaritan woman. God wants to touch your need. I want to tell you, whatever it is you need, if it's a breaking of your heart or if it's a satisfying of your heart, the Lord Jesus is here in this place ready to talk to you, touch you, like only he can. We're about to open up these altars. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We've received the word of God. We've worshiped together. We have received the word of God together. Now we are going to talk to God in this altar. If you know about it, why don't you go ahead and come? Why don't you go ahead and come? Why don't you ask God? God, you know your situation. God, I need you to break through my religion. God, I need you to touch my heart and give me the very things that I'm longing for. And God, you be the water that I drink of and I never thirst again. Maybe you've been judgmental to other people. Maybe you've got some Samaritans you've been judgmental to. But maybe you also have some Pharisees that you've been judgmental to. Why don't you drop all those things? And why don't you invite God to come right into the center of who you are and bless you and minister to you and speak to you like only he can speak to you. If you want special prayer in this place, I want you to come in the first 2 feet. We're going to pray for you. And I believe the Jesus that we talked about is in the room right now, and he is going to meet your need. I speak it in faith. Father, I thank you for everyone watching, listening online. Right now, touch their heart, God. Lord, let them get a hold of the truth. Let them get a hold of Jesus Christ, God. Lord, let them to help them to stop running after need after need after need and never being fulfilled. Let them be fulfilled in you. Lord, help them, God, to not just have a form of religion, but help them have the power of the Spirit in their life. In Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, God, for touching us. Thank you for being with us. Come on, talk to the Lord in this house. Reach out to him in this place. He is wonderful. He is awesome. And we love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, come on, let's reach out.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.